Welcome back to the 12 Days of Human Design series. I am super pumped about this episode because it's Sawyer's episode. So Sawyer is my first grandchild, and I have been honored and blessed to spend a lot of time with her. I get to spend a lot of time with my grandkids, and I've gotten to spend a lot of time with her since she was just 12 hours old. We have a really special relationship, and I'm excited to do this reading because she's just such a powerhouse of a kid. And it's so fun to unpack her design as I watch her live her life. And again, I mean, I wish I had had this information when my own kids were little, right? So over the course of this 12-part series or these 12 episodes, we're looking at every member of my family so that you can see that human design is a whole lot more than a label or a type. Sawyer is a manifesting generator. And like seven others of us at the time of this recording, we have 8 manifesting generators and 3 generators in our family, and we're all completely different. And Sawyer truly is one of a kind. Like, I have never met another child like her, and most people say that when they meet her. So listen in and hear all about the nuances of her chart. It's going to be a little bit different than some of the other readings that I've done over this 12-part series. I'm going to talk about a few things that I haven't spoken about before. One of them is circuitry, so stay tuned. Have your own chart handy as we go through the episode so that you can relate what I'm covering here to your own life. And if you don't have your human design chart yet, you can just pause the episode and head on over to the website. It's vickidixon.com. It's linked in the show notes for you, and you can run your own human design chart so that you'll have it to be able to refer to. You can do that right on your mobile if you're walking along listening to this episode.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Okay, Sawyer, let's talk about her circuitry first. And I haven't talked a lot about circuitry in any of these episodes because it's kind of a big thing that you go into the weeds on circuitry, and you can get lost in it, and it's a lot to memorize and know. But just remember that you don't have to learn human design. You want to live your own human design, okay? So we're going to talk about Sawyer's circuitry because it's a big deal, because she has so much of it, and she has so much of the same type of circuitry. So your circuitry or your channels are the full lines that connect two centers. Anywhere where two centers are connected by a line, that's a channel, and it's part of your circuitry. And your circuitry is like the electrical box, shall we say, of your human design chart. It never changes, and it's the thing that lays the foundation for the energy of your design. So it is a big deal. Sawyer has 7 channels defined. 6 of them are individual or integration channels, and I'll tell you why that's important. Individual channels are about the individual, right? They are someone who's here to be living for themselves. And integration channels are survival of the self. So every aspect of her design is that of someone who goes her own way, follows her own path, is true to herself at all costs. She's not here to conform. She's a visionary leader who sets the pace. And she's 3. So imagine parenting this. We'll talk about the channels that she has defined because they're a big deal. Or some of the channels that she has defined, they're a big deal. And you'll just see how these layers of the chart go together. So Sawyer's a 3420 manifesting generator, just like Nick and Brooks, her dad and her brother. But they are nothing alike. You wouldn't look at the 3 of them and go, oh, well, they're all the same. Not at all. They're all very, very different. And remember that 3420s are always busy, and they're always busy for themselves. They're here to carve a path for themselves, to hell what anyone else wants. Busy, 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 busy. And Sawyer definitely is that. This is part of her circuitry. 3410 is defined for her as well. And this channel is all about following your own convictions. Channel 5720 is defined for her. And this is about ensuring you'll survive. It's being acutely in tune with your truth in a lightning fast way. Like, it happens so fast. Gate 57 is the most intuitive gate in the human design body graph. So check your own chart and notice if you have that. I've talked about that in a few of the episodes because a lot of us have it. And gate 20 is presence. It's now, now, now. So it's understanding her truth, what she needs to survive, in a lightning fast way. So that's just a little bit of her circuitry. I'm not going to go into it all because there is a lot to do with circuitry, but it just gives you an idea of how she's here to follow her own path. And I'm going to now layer on other pieces of the puzzle that mean she's here to follow her own path. So look at your profile. Sawyer is a 3-5 profile. When you look at your own chart, your profile will be listed somewhere where it says your type, strategy, authority. You'll see profile on there. So she's a 3-5 profile, and we've talked about these before in the episodes, but they're important, so I'm going to say it again. Third line profiles are the experiential learners. They move fast and break things, and that is definitely the way that Sawyer lives her life. Oh my God, she's always tripping, she's always cutting herself, she's always falling, she's always getting herself into all kinds of messes so that she can learn. And that's the thing, is that she's never making a mistake. And I'm putting that in air quotes, because the conditioning on third line profiles is that they're making too many mistakes, but they have to experience things for themselves. So if you have a third line profile, or if your child or someone else you love has a third line profile, you have to let them make mistakes. And I'm putting that in air quotes because it's so important to their learning that they be able to move through life, that they be able to move fast and break things, basically, because that's how they learn. Fifth line profiles are visionary leaders. So they have a really unique way of looking at life. And we talked about this in Samuel's episode and Zoe's episodes, because they are both fifth line profiles. So they're karmic mirrors. They live in a projection field, and they'll project onto others what needs to be healed, and people will project onto them, because oftentimes people feel that fifth line profiles will save them somehow. So 3-5s together are powerful leaders who learn from experience and share their lessons for the betterment of all. Sawyer's conscious sun, and your conscious sun is the top number on the right of your chart. It's a big deal, because that is who you be. It's who you're here to be. It's what you give to the world. You might hear it said in business circles that it's your brand. Sawyer's conscious sun is gate 51, and gate 51 is shock and initiation. And she is definitely very shocking, definitely very shocking. 70% of who you are goes through the gate of your conscious sun. So it's a big deal. So we've got this little 3-year-old girl who is here to shock. She's a third line profile who's here to make mistakes. She's a fifth line profile who's a visionary leader and a karmic mirror. And she's got all of this circuitry that means that she's here to follow her own path above all else. It's just fascinating to see. I'm just looking at her chart here one more time. One of the other things that's defined in her chart is gate 39. And gate 39 is the gate of provocation. She's not here to be gentle and soft. Between her gate 51 and her gate 39, gate 39 provokes changes or reactions in others. Gate 51 initiates or is shocking. So we can't condition this little girl to be a nice little girl. We can't condition her to wear the frilly dresses and the leotards and the fancy shoes. Like, no. Absolutely not. Now, don't get me wrong. She's lovable. She is so much fun, like so much fun, but she's not here to be gentle. She's not gentle in the least. She is rough and tough. I remember when Birksie was like little wee, he was lying on the blanket and Emma turned her back for like 2 seconds to cut an apple or something. And she turned around and Sawyer's like hauling Birks up by his neck. It's like she just is a rough and tumble little girl. So let's look at her design in the construct of the school system, because I seem to always need to pick on the school system in these episodes. And it's not that I disagree with school on a fundamental level. It's that I think we can do better. Like, I know we need to do better for the next generation that's coming up. And that doesn't mean setting up litter boxes in the bathrooms. I said what I said. It means allowing for individuality, not to identify as something that you're not, but to identify as who you are, who you came here to be, according to how you're designed to be. There's freedom in that, and there's power in that. And I wonder if that's the resistance. God forbid we show children how powerful they really are. We certainly weren't raised to be powerful, right? If you're a Gen Xer like me, you weren't raised to know how powerful you were. And then you spend your entire life and in your entire business and all of your endeavors playing small and trying to find that piece of yourself that you can be bold enough to speak to draw your people to you. It's just a crazy, crazy system that we've got going on here. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox for this episode. I should do like a whole series of episodes on that, taking your power back. So back to Sawyer. She's a split definition. So even though she has a defined throat, and this is a really big deal. So if you're a manifesting generator and you have a defined throat, or you know, you're someone who typically we think of the undefined throat as needing to verbally process, but verbal processing lives in other areas in the design as well. So when you look at your own design, if you're a split definition, a split, a quadruple split, a triple split, any of those splits, you will need a certain degree of verbal processing. You need to talk things out. And for Sawyer with this third line profile of her, she is always asking why. Always, always, always. Like, her why stage has lasted practically her whole life, and I hope she never grows out of that, because we need more people asking why. But with her, what I've really noticed is that she needs to understand why in order to do the thing. She's never going to be a kid who you can just tell what to do. But if you tell her the next step, if you take the next step with her and explain why you're asking her to do something or why something has to be a certain way, she will process that and then it's fine. But if you don't tell her why, it's going to be a battle. So that's the third line profile. So gate 46 is defined as well. So if gate 46 is defined for you, it can be really helpful. It's a gate of love of the body, and it can be really helpful to walk and talk. Walk and talk, and as a split definition, verbally process. So she's got all of this talking in her. So I think we were talking about the school system originally. So we're going to look at the activity level that she needs. It's a big, important part of the equation for her. So she's a manifesting generator. She's a 3420. She's a third line profile. Gate 46 is defined. Gate 54 is defined. And gate 54, I believe, is a theme in her design. Gate 36 is defined for her. Gate 36, remember, is Evel Knievel energy. I think I've talked about this in a few episodes. I think in Sam's episode, in Nick's episode, and maybe Brooks's episode, and we're going to be talking about it in Matt's episode. So gate 36 is Evel Knievel energy. This is the, I'm here for the experience. I need to experience everything. 3410 and 5720 are defined, that are all about going her own way. And then she has gate 15, which is the gate of extremes. It's the gate of magnetism. She gets this from me, I'd like to say. I have gate 15 as a theme in my design as well. So gate 15 is the gate of extremes, and it just draws people to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful energy, but it's not an energy that likes to sit. This is not a sitting kid. This is a kid who requires a lot of action. And I can tell you, so here's a manifesting generator or generator tip for you. You need to use up your sacral energy every single day. As a generator type, you get a new load of sacral energy and it needs to be used up daily. So you will have more trouble sleeping if you don't get enough activity than if you do get enough activity. So it's really important to get enough activity. And you know how oftentimes with kids, we want to set up a bedtime routine, and I'm all for bedtime routines and all that stuff. You know, sit down and read a book quietly and settle in at nighttime, whatever. Well, Emily, my daughter, has these two kids who are 3420 manifesting generators. You know what they do at bedtime? They have an open concept house and they run. They get out of the tub and they run 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 and they run. And it just about makes you feel, you know, makes you feel like you're going to spin out when you're sitting on the couch and watching these kids run and run and run and run and run, because it's counterintuitive, right? It's not the way we were raised. It's not the way we raised our kids to just run around at bedtime, but it's what her kids need. They need to use up that sacral energy so that they can fall into bed exhausted. If you're a generator or manifesting generator, you want to fall into bed completely exhausted and ready to go to sleep. You should fall asleep the minute your head hits the pillow. Okay, so this episode is getting long, but I did warn you that it would be. So I'm going to talk about a conundrum in Sawyer's chart, because there's a couple for her, and I think one of them is very common. I know I see it in a lot of my clients, and I have it as well. So I'm going to explain this for you so you can play with the energy in your own design if it suits for you. So Sawyer has three distinct voices or instincts inside of her, awarenesses, shall we say, inside of her, responses inside of her that nudge her toward or away from something. So she has a defined spleen, and the spleen center, this is the center on the left-hand side of your chart near the bottom. It's colored in for her. So remember that if something is colored in, it's defined. So she has a defined spleen, and the spleen speaks quickly. Boom. Lightning fast. It speaks once and then it never speaks again. So she has that. So when she's thinking about something, or when she's got something that she's going to respond to, boom, her spleen is going to give her an answer right away, quick. But then she also has a defined sacral. The sacral responds in the moment, and it responds yes or no. It responds uh-huh or uh-uh. Hers is yep and nope. She's a 3420. So 3420 manifesting generators sometimes have a different sacral sound than the uh-huh or the uh-uh that we talk about with generators. But the sacral speaks very, very quickly. The thing about the sacral is that you can ask it questions, yes or no questions, so that it doesn't just speak once. You can tune into your sacral for clarity. But so her spleen speaks, and then her sacral speaks, and then she has the defined solar plexus. The defined solar plexus that never experiences clarity in the now. And I can tell you how this feels in my body, because I too have a defined solar plexus. and a defined spleen and a defined sacral. So, you know, your sacral as a generator, a manifesting generator, can be all fired up for something, right? You can be feeling like, yes, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. You're all revved up. Friend of mine says I'm hyped up on goofballs. You can be really fired up for something, but then with the emotional solar plexus defined, your authority is to wait it out because there's no truth in the now. So you need to take time with your decisions. You need to really allow them to process. The bigger the decision, probably the more time that you're going to need. You know, I've had decisions in my life where I made a decision quickly. I'll give you this example. I bought a $1,700 course on a whim. I've never once opened that course. It was 2.5 years ago. I still haven't opened that course. I've tried to several times, but it's like, oh my gosh, it wasn't the right thing for me, but I didn't wait. And then I've had other things. So as I'm recording this episode, it's right around Black Friday. And because people are, you know, Black Friday has really changed and people are talking about their offers for a whole lot longer. So I made a short list of people that I wanted to check out their offers if they went on sale. And I sat with that list as if I was buying the offer at full price for probably 2 to 3 weeks. And then when I landed on something, you know, by the time we got to Black Friday, I think, well, so far I've only bought one thing. And it was very well thought out, very well felt out. That's the thing, you're feeling it with your emotional solar plexus. Had I not given myself the time and the space to do that, then I would have maybe bought more things and again, not use them. It's not the buying of the things that's the problem. It's the fact that you don't use them or that you have regret over your decisions. So we really need to help Sawyer to be deeply in tune with her intuition. For her, her intuition is what keeps her grounded. She's her conscious earth. So that's the second planet down, the second number down on the black side for her is the gate of intuition. So her intuition is what keeps her feeling grounded. So it's really important for us to encourage her to listen to her own intuition. And that's not always super popular, right? Certainly for kids, you know, we try to make decisions for them. We don't teach them oftentimes how to lean into their own inner authority. And I think that this is the beautiful piece or one of the beautiful pieces about human design for the generation that's coming up is that we really can teach them how to understand how their energy works and how to honor that and make decisions that are aligned for them, regardless of whether we agree with it or not. So I had a whole lot more that I was going to talk to you about our Sawyer's design. Maybe we will do a deep dive into her chart because there's so much more to unpack here. But this episode has gone on long enough. So I am going to leave it at that and we'll come back to it in another day. So when you're ready to look at the nuances of your own human design, you can head on over to the website. It's VickiDixon.com and book your own reading. We spend 75 to 90 minutes together going through all of the intricacies. That's a hard word to say sometimes. That make you you so that you can step into your strengths, so that you can live the highest expression of your human design and let go of all of the ways that you've been told to be something that you're not. Remember that life is going to kick you around. Human design is the ultimate way to stay unjaded.